Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
My message today is, as we continue in the book of Matthew, reshaping society's culture. We begin with church so that we can reshape community. And today my message is this: God's grace rewards. That's a message for you today. God's grace rewards. That is the message for you. You got to hold on to that today. God's grace rewards. Matthew chapter 20, and I read verse 1 to 16. It is called the parable of the vineyard workers. For the kingdom of heaven is like, the word like, it's likening it. So as we read this, remember, it is likening it to something in our current day. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" They replied, "Because no one hired us." The landowner told them, "Then go out and join the others in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more. But they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner. Those people worked only one hour, and yet you paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. He answered one of them, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Then take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others?" Verse 16 and last. "So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last." That's the word of the Lord. Did it preach to you yet? I love the word. The parable of the vineyard workers, the parable of this, of what the master is sharing here, is that the work for the master must be done at all costs and at all times. At all costs and at all times. And this message has various sectors to it. The first sector is that, translated, the churchgoers who have no empathy for the lost. Those are the ones who are jealous at the end because God would bless those who are just coming into the kingdom. Do you know that that happens? That is why so many churches grow old and stale, is that there's a, but we have territory here. We bought the seat. We paid the building. We set up the siding. We did all the working. And you showed up, Johnny come lately, and you want to get the same Holy Ghost power and filled with the Spirit and everything we got all these years? And Jesus goes, "Yes. Are you jealous that those coming in the kingdom now will be filled with his anointing, blessed to serve the kingdom and invest for the future. In case you're wondering if I didn't share the offering, it'll come at the end. Ask the Lord to touch. Then there's the church rejectors who need to come into the kingdom. The church rejectors, they show up in the parable story because they're just waiting out there for when everything is good before they'll come to the Lord. And Jesus is crying out to them and calling to us to see that they need to find their place in now before it's too late. We must work for what Jesus died for, and that all people would come into the kingdom of God. That's what we got to work for. As we are preparing for our Easter, we're doing something big. We're going to the arena down the street, built by the casino, next to the casino. You're not going to the casino. And I will have spotters to watch for you. But God today is calling. Our God is a God of grace, and because of his grace, he calls to all. Because of God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, there are promises given to all of us, even to those that are far away from Christ, because God is no respecter of persons. He desires that all will come into eternal life. That is what he died for. As we're celebrating Easter, it's not the bun, the cheese, and all that stuff. He died that all would come to salvation. And Jesus shared this parable to remind us, to remind every hearer what the heart of God is like. Our Father, God, Savior Jesus Christ, they have a care and a compassion for all. So he continues to extend his grace to all at all times and at all hours. Mercy is different from grace. Mercy is compassion shown to someone who deserves the opposite. You give them mercy because they didn't deserve it. But the one who is offended is forgiven. Mercy is when you have offended, you've done wrong, and you're given a due course. You're given a let. You're given freedom. I shared you a mercy story once when I got a ticket in Montreal, and it was because I was praying. At that time, Pastor Roslyn, I was at Bible Way. I had to go pray for someone who was home going, and they called me in the night and said, Pastor, you got to come. They're going home. And I was exhausted. I'd worked hard all week. I'm always going, and then I used to go 24/7. And so I got in my car, and you know I have driving issues because I was raised in Montreal and we have license to drive, unlike Ontario people who we use all of our mirrors. You seem to only use one. And so I got down there, I prayed, and we ushered the person home. I waited until they had gone home to glory peacefully, and then I got in my car, and I was so exhausted, I said, God, it is 15 minutes to my house. Well, it usually would take about 20, 25, but it was going to be 15. And I was doing so well. I got right to my last light, and it was the last light, and I'm like, and it's a long light in where I was out in the South in the West Island. I'm like, I'm not getting that light. And so I put the throttle down because that's the last light to home. And as I made it through, well, barely through that last light, I heard you didn't make it. I took the ticket to court because I was upset, because I told the officer I was tired. I just went and prayed somebody home to glory. I said I would not try to kill somebody on the road when I just ushered one home. I said, so I was driving very responsibly, and he gave me the ticket, and I went to court with it. This is mercy. And when they were there, all the court people, you should have heard, the judge was harsh. They were coming up, and they were saying this and that, and the judge was giving them a fine. And I'm like, oh, this is not going good. It was a bad day, judge. You know, anybody know when there's a bad day, judge, you could feel it? Yeah, you got one of those, didn't you? I saw the hand go up so fast. You had one of those. And I was just like, this is not going good for me to go up and say not guilty. So when I got there and they said, what is your plea? I said, mercy. And the court attendant says, excuse me, it's guilty or not guilty? I said, nope, it's mercy. And so I said, Your Honor, please let me explain why mercy. And so I just went in fast forward. I says, Your Honor, I went to take care of somebody. I'm a pastor, and I went to go pray for somebody who was dying. And as I was there praying for the person, God, the night went on long, but I couldn't leave them, Your Honor. I had to stay there until they passed on, because we, as pastors, we don't leave their bedside. But when I left the bedside, I was so exhausted. And I figure if I don't drive fast, Your Honor, then I'm going to end up falling asleep. If I end asleep, then I'm going to kill somebody. So, Your Honor, I drove fast. She said, I've never heard this one before. She said, so I'm gonna stamp mercy. Mercy is when you're given compassion against what you deserved. Yes? Justice, though, is different. Justice is when there's an exemplifying of a reasonable fairness, a reasonable response to a destructive or difficult situation. It means that you have your right due, your rightly due. For instance, First Nations, the justice sometimes given to you is not justice. And so that's when we need to cry out for justice, because their rights are not given. But grace is different. Grace is just God's gift to us. God's riches at Christ's expense. Do you see that? God's riches. It's paid for. Don't deserve it. And so Jesus shares the many calls he gives to humanity. And he stops everything on this journey with the disciples. He was walking with the disciples, and he stops everything, and he begins to share a very vivid story, which many in that day would have understood, as the culture then was so that men would go to the city gates, and they would bring their tools, and whatever type of job they do, they would go and they'd sit at the city gates waiting for someone who needs a worker from the city gate that day. There are many cultures today that still do this in different countries. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where people will come and they'll congregate at a certain place. Anybody from nations where they've seen that? Let me see your hands. Because I've surely seen it. None of you? Y'all been here too long? You know nothing. There are many nations where they don't have a formal employment. And so they'll go to a certain spot, and those who want a day worker will go to that spot. And then, I need a gardener, and there's a gardener. You see that a lot right now in some of the states bordering Mexico, where they'll come and they'll wait, and they have good skills, and people come say, hey, I need a roofer, I need a gardener, I need help, or I need this, and they'll just come out with their tools. And they have in that city gate, they have a system of honor, because if you destroy somebody's home or didn't do something right, and they come back and complain at the city gate, the unwritten rule, which is a law to them, is you don't come back and sit with us because you messed up all of us. So it's a system, and it happened in the day when Jesus was there. They came to be hired for a day work. And so Jesus uses the story to show the many types of people who will come to the city gate. And he shows that there are people who have good intention but bad plans. They don't have a responsibility they don't have a desire to respond to the responsibility at hand. And so many calls were given that day, and Jesus is using this story, and he's saying, this is what happened. There were some people at the gate, and there was many types of call. There was an early call, a late call, persistent call, and a final call. I'm going to explain most of them, all of them, in this message. The landowner, let me explain the story first. The landowner represents God, our creator. The landowner represents us, the laborers represents us today, and the vineyard represents our work for God wherever he plans to use us. So let me rephrase that so you get it. The landowner represents God, our creator. That's the landowner, yes? Whose land are you on? Yes. And by the way, to our indigenous ladies, men, our bus driver and others, and as you talk at home and even let them watch the service, we know your land has been taken and exploited for generations, and you've suffered at the hand of it all. There are many of us who come in as migrants, and we forget this was never ours. Lest we forget, we are all, no matter what color we are, we all came here. Somebody tell somebody, you came here too. The landowner represents God, our creator. The laborers in the story represent us, the workers, God's creation. And the vineyard represents our work for God wherever he has planned to use us. So let's look at the four calls that Christ is speaking about in this story and how they relate to salvation at this hour. The first call is the early call. The early call is for the eager ones. Those folks that are willing and eager to work, they showed up early in the morning and were prepared to hear the call and respond quickly. They were at the gate with their tools ready to work. And when the landowner shows up, they heard the promise of a full day's wage. And they were excited and they took off and they went and they got working. That's 10% of people in the church today. It used to be 20, it's now 10%. Any shame? Those folks didn't take much convincing for them to work for the landowner. They were moved by a simple call, a small voice, a thought. They heard there's a need and they moved into it. But then the second call is the latecomer's call. This is the slothful and the self-seeking. These folks were slothful, self-seeking. They were complacent about vineyard work. They showed up late. When the landowner went, this is now at 9 o'clock, they're still there. Oh, sorry, yeah, 9 o'clock, they're still there. They perhaps thought about their eagerness to work, but they didn't have a readiness with their eagerness. Can I say that again? They had an eagerness, I want to work, but they didn't have a readiness. They didn't come wholeheartedly. They felt, oh, I can't go with that. I have no choice. I just have to stay here. They had kind of like issues about, I'm just here to be with everybody. You know, there are people who just show up to be there. They were the ones who would question others about what went on when I wasn't here. Nothing satisfied them. They heard the clear call, but they preferred the social channel. Only one person heard what I said. I said they heard the clear call of a landowner, but they tuned their ears not to the landowner, Master God. They tuned their ears to the social channel. Got to check where your ears are tuned today. Then there's the persistent call. This is the nonchalant, non-engaged. These folks were constantly needing encouragement themselves. They didn't really want to work, but they were quite content to show up, take up time from those who were there for work. They probably loved the conversational time, the arguing time, the complaining time, but their ears were not tuned to the voice of the landowner. Their ears were tuned to, is there any gossip in the land that I've missed? I showed up to make sure nothing missed me. They had no interest in working for the landowner, and they showed up without a gratitude in their hearts for the breath that was in their lungs and the strength in their bodies, because if God doesn't put strength in your body and breath in your lungs, you can't work. They were content to live within a life with just physical and emotional well-being, but not spiritual well-being. They were content to live with emotional and physical. Give me the homes and everything. Give me the pleasures and everything. But I don't really want to focus on spiritual well-being. And so they just showed up late and later. There were two calls in there. That was the noon and that was the 3 p.m. But the master is a God of grace. It says the landowner showed up one more time. Showed up at 5 o'clock. This was the final call. Who was he going to? The fully despondent. Those slow-moving folks that had become so complacent in their lives, in their interests, that they would sleep late, do whatever they cared about, and only show up at the marketplace in the late hours of the day. Or perhaps they showed up early, but when they got there, they had excuses for everything. See, when the landowner showed up at the first call, sunrise, at 6, they're like, I just woke up, I'm not ready to work. At 9, I'm just finished my coffee, I'm getting ready. Just take some other guys, I'm not there. You know, I show up at church at 19 after 9. Online, scratch that. They say strike that from the record. It's an in-house thing. They showed up at noon when half the day was done because they probably slept half the day away and didn't have any energy or any excitement or perhaps they just stood there making excuses. I don't like that job. That's not for me. Do you know who I am? Yes, I know who you are. You're unemployed. But God still sees all his creation as valuable. And so these four types are contrasting, showing the types of people in the kingdom of God. The types that need to prepare themselves for the kingdom of heaven. See, there's a kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. Church, we're the kingdom of God. That doesn't make us the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is where we work to go, do the master's work. And Jesus tells the story to show how he sees these different types of people. This is not mine, it's his. He says, the landowner who represents God and how God operates kept going back to the marketplace where these workers were congregated. And he kept on calling them, attempting to prepare them for what? The kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God is us being a children of God in the house of God. Kingdom of heaven is where we're going to go and spend eternity. And he's preparing them for that. So the landowner, the representing God, he goes out all of these times. You see, sunrise establishes the beginning of the day, and sunset is the end of the day. And he, with such grace, he went out at sunrise. That is early in the morning. That's 6 o'clock. He showed up for the early birds, and he blessed them with a job. And then he showed up at 9, because God does not forget his people. And he says, come on, I'm still giving you a call. They've been calling and calling. And so the 9 o'clock, he sent them out. Go and work. And then he shows up, it says, at the 6th hour, which is noon. The sun is high. If you know in many countries where the sun is high, noon, they're just pushing through a little bit more than they'll take a siesta. But he says, I'm going to show up because you can still get in the vineyard and do some work. So get on in there. Then it says he showed up at the 9th hour, which was 3 p.m. At 3 p.m., it's siesta time. And he's like, the others have been working and working and working. What are you doing at the marketplace, gossiping and talking about what you didn't get? You didn't get because you have not put yourself in the work of the kingdom. Get into the vineyard and do something, and I will take care of it. But then, folks, he showed up. The Bible calls it the 11th hour. Translated in the Bibles, he showed up at 5 o'clock. If you've been working from 6 in the morning and somebody shows up at 5 o'clock, what would you say to them? Come on, be real. Go home. Straight up in any language. Give it to me in Filipino. Yeah? Rika. Wika. What is it in Cree? Chue. Chue. Oh, that sounds like Jamaican. Gwe. How about Italian? The what? Louder. Arrivederci. We know that one. You don't belong here. Isn't that what we would do? He showed up at the 11th hour and he says, what are you still doing here doing nothing? That's the cry. Because see, sunrise is when Christ came to earth. Sunset is when Christ is coming back. The 11th hour is now. Can you see the grace of God as he keeps calling to us? Matthew 9:37-38, the harvest is great, the workers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest, who's in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his field. So Jesus says, I'm picking them up. It's not too late for you to become a worker in the kingdom of God. Do something for the Lord, no matter what it is. And the landowner's call was to say, I still see you standing there. I still see you sitting there. I see you with all the gifts and the tools I've given you, but you're doing nothing with it for the kingdom. This is not what God's call. God's call is by grace, not by works. It's not what you feel you're able to do. It's what he is able to do through you. This weekend, as I said, I preach Friday night at our service. I preach Saturday morning. I preached, I didn't preach, but we prayed through Saturday afternoon. I went home, my eyelids hurt. And I didn't say, oh God, my eyelids hurt. I'm just going to let nothing happen tomorrow. When you're a vineyard worker, you pick up your tool and you go and you work. That's why we can rejoice that we are saved by grace, not by works. If it was by works, the kingdom would not exist. But it's by grace. All people are called. And hear what? He saves by grace. The same way we're called to work by grace, we're saved by grace. The people that we're going to call into the kingdom, it's by grace. Oh, I've asked them. I asked them at the 6 o'clock hour. I asked them at the 9 o'clock hour. I asked them at the 12 o'clock hour. I asked them at the 3 o'clock hour. Now it's 5 o'clock. Jesus is coming back. They're not going to be saved. Who are you to bring judgment on the ones that are going to come in at the 11th hour? Ephesians 2:8-9, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it. This lines up with last week's message. If you didn't hear last week's message, this lines up with last week's message. It's not the good that you do that brings you to heaven. It's that the grace of God gives you opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God, as Jesus says. So we're at the 11th hour now, friends. Can you imagine? Now let's take a turn in the story. Imagine how those sunrise workers felt as they labored all day. And these last minute ones, even when they came among you, just think, I love putting the passage into context, okay? Just think, you're out there in the field, you've been tilling, you did a whole section, you picked up the stones and you did the trimming. Just think, okay? And you've been doing this since 6 in the morning. And then the master tells these lazy, good-for-nothing, waiting over there, nonchalante, at 5 o'clock to come with their hoe. And they're trying to come around you. And you want to make sure that the master knows, I did all of this. Don't come by me. That would be me. Come on. Anybody else like me? And even if you could, some of us would say it, please don't come by me. Go find your own patch. Others would just give them the look. Or you take your hope. Right? We have signals. Anybody show me your signal? Come on, wake up. Show me. What signal would you give? Come on, let me see some body language now. Uh-oh. That's it. You just tell them, push back. Okay, so what happened is they were sitting at the city gate while you were laboring all day going, oh, we don't like that type of work. We're not qualified for that. We don't feel good today. Nobody wants to hire us. I mean, I want to be hired in the office. And, you know, and they had conversation. The work was below them. And the landowner shows up and says, when you're working for the kingdom, nothing is below you. So grace, goodness, kindness, and compassion. Romans 10:20-21. I was found by my people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. But regarding Israel, all day long I opened my arms to them, but they were disobedient and rebellious. Folks, God's reward or God's payment is not as humans see it. He's perseverant. He wants all to come. And so he came Some came into the kingdom of God early, and many are yet to come, like Israel did to Christ. And the job of every believer is to continue working with diligence because God's grace has been extended to you. You don't quit early. You don't think of it's too late. You don't discourage others. You don't just sit in the marketplace figuring everything out and pontificating about the philosophy of work. But instead, you show up in the kingdom and you work. You're not ungrateful for the opportunities that God has given you, because just at just the right time, God's going to use you to help somebody. So the non-fervent, non-zealous, latecomers, they may get a reward, but what you forget, so we don't stay jealous like them, is that they lost out on the blessings of the days. Do you know what, folks? They failed to worship all the days of their life. They didn't grow in the knowledge of the Lord. They failed to be enriched by the power of God. They failed to know and use the gifts that God has given. They failed to live an unselfish life, so they have a lot of baggage in the background. They fail to be looking for Christ's return, so there's some things they can't even sing. They lost a lot along the journey. Don't be jealous when God brings in the new people, baptizes them, saves them, cleans them up, and loosens them in the kingdom, because there's still something you have they don't have. Do you notice today when I said to Helen and I said to them that I'm going to have one of you come and pray as the leaders, and they said, no, you will have to have an elder. Why? Because elder has been hard-pressed but not crushed, has been abandoned but can't be shaken down. Because elder keeps teaching what she's lived, not just what she learned. So those of us in the kingdom, it's our time to teach what we've lived. And others, now you need to step up, latecomers, slot full. It wasn't my word, it was in the Bible. Because there's stuff, Jackie, you can come and help me. There's stuff that I know many of you will never know because I grew into it. I grew into it. There's stuff you'll say something and I'm just thinking a song. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy, we welcome his. Those that are echoing it, see, they're coming from a journey because you don't hear those in the new days. Right? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their So folks, all the people singing that are coming from a long journey. That's called the archives. Those that are singing that, are, you know where they got that from? It wasn't even their song as much. It was their grandparents' song. Hello? See, when you grew up in granny church days, every time they came in tired, every time they came in beaten, every time they came in distress. In those days, they used to have testimony time. And when they said, Sister so-and-so, she been walking miles, she been working all day, she been so tired. She didn't have, nothing was left. And they'd say, Sister Juliet, give a testimony. And she'd say, oh, God ain't got nothing, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. It was their testimony.
They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord.
bad thing that you don't know it. It's a bad thing that those of us who've been in the vineyard from 6 o'clock in the morning haven't been showing you how much God has given us. Instead, we're complaining about what we still don't have. But God, you can't pay them what you pay us. You can't give them the blessings you give us. I've been on the journey longer. The master said, you don't tell me how to take care of my vineyard, my people. The one that came in at 5 o'clock, come first. That would have irked everything out of me. Be real. Folks, we're in the 11th hour. He's going to call out some people. And when he does, your job is to put the fire in them that you always knew so that they will take it into another generation. Because you can tell some miracle stories. See, the one at 6 o'clock will say, man, at 9 o'clock I was dying of hunger. And I said, God, I'm hungry. And he provided. The one at 9 o'clock will say, I needed a drink around noon, but I was in the middle of the field. There was no water there. I said, God, I'm thirsty, and I just felt refreshed. The one at 3 o'clock will say, the sun was burning my head. I thought I was going to faint. And I said, God, I can't faint now. I can't faint now. I can't faint now. I've been working too long. God, it's 3 o'clock. I just can't give up now.
I come too far from where I started from.
That's my story.
Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he's brought me this far to leave me.
First Nations, hear this one. This is for you. I just can't give up now. You didn't give up. You came.
I just can't give up now. I come too far from where I started from.
That's my testimony.
Nobody told me the road would be
Christine,
easy, and I
don't believe he brought you this far to leave you. Oh, I wasn't planning to go this way, but for everybody now, I just
can't give up.
Online, somebody was about to give up. You're not giving up today.
I come too far from where I
at 5 o'clock, 11th hour, he'll show up.
Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Oh, and I don't believe, and I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. Father, you see our value, and you will never fail us. Teach us, oh God, to be witnesses of the great things you've brought us through. It's the 11th hour, oh God, and there are still many that are not in the vineyard, and you're scooping them up saying, come alongside those who've been there. But those of us that are there are jealous, selfish, and self-absorbed. God, change and challenge us. This is not a time for us to think about who we are. We must think about who you are and what hour it is. It is the 11th hour. God, let the churchgoers have empathy for the lost, so the church rejecters will come in at this 11th hour. In the name of Jesus, I pray. God bless your people. Let faith arise in every soul today. If you need faith for something in your life, just reach your hands up and say, God, give me faith. Give me faith. God, doesn't matter what hour it is, your grace, your rich, God's riches are Christ's expense. Your grace is still mine. God, let people see the grace of God and the goodness of God over their lives even now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Just thank him this morning now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your justice. Thank you for your hope. Thank you for the peace you put in our hearts. Teach us, oh God, how to live in it, dwell in it, abide in it, exist in it, never let it go. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. We're going to stay on air. Those online, I want you to meet those who have been living with lots of pain and persecution, abandonment, distrust, distress. Let me introduce to you from the Mistissini Reserve, Living Waters Assembly, our leader, Nancy Loon, who you met before, the Quebec women's leader, Helen Petawabanu. She's over the many reserves, Mistissini, Waswanapi, Ujibugumu, Shibugumu, Wasanapi, Chape, Chechebe. I have never been to Chechebe. Niniska, I haven't been either. They're too cold there. They invite me. Black flies in some places, I told them, it's like airplanes, okay? And I go where the black flies would eat me, but not where they can carry me. Pastor Rosalind McKenzie, she's from my church, and you've heard me talk about Bible Way. She grew up there. Then as I ministered there, she felt the call to missions, went to Kenya as a missionary, came back from Kenya, and God called her to become a missionary in the First Nations, and now she's trained up, led, developed leaders, and she's stepped back, her and her husband. She married a lovely Kenyan man while in Kenya. I traveled all those countries, but I didn't stop. Our bus driver, Uriah, where is he? Yes. Uriah had to drive. Someone get one of those flat chairs for me. Get it over there. Come on right in and get one of those. Not the flat chairs. They know which one. This one you perch on or any. And Uriah drives the bus to the maximum that they can drive. And then there's another bus driver waiting. So they'll be leaving after the worship of the second service, and then he will just drive straight. They sat on the bus all 15 hours. Think you've got, you want to show them a bit of what they drove through. Don't go anywhere, folks, because I'm going to share something before we go to prayer. But I want you to know they've come through hell and high water. Let me read you. When yesterday in our prayer time, we took prayer needs that we're going to keep praying about. I'm not going to read names. I'm going to read just a smidgen. Look at this. This is what they drove. Run that again. That's what they drove through for hours upon hours upon hours. Sleeting rain, wind, snow, all the way here out in the Quebec north part. And folks, some of those roads are not even roads at all. But they said when they woke up, it was covered with ice. And they didn't know if people could even make it towards the bus. But they were like, we're getting there. They slide and they're pushing their bags. 87-year-old granny's like, she grabs her granddaughter. Granddaughter's always with her. Granddaughter's holding on to granny. Granny holding on to Wheeler, and they're still making it to the bus. This is the birthday one. And for, to be 87, she's lived. She could tell you stories. Granddaughter. Our youth are at the retreat, but I wish they were here to see. This granddaughter is so proud. She doesn't leave her side. She translates for her. She gets her food. She takes anything granny wants. This one's on it. And then mom. I don't know how you. She is a warrior, this one. I don't know how she slid on the ice. They're talking full ice. With your cane. What'd you do? Just slide this way and carry the cane? That's what they went through. Folks, we can't get people to come to church 10 minutes early. But they weren't going to leave. Here's why. They wanted to join us. And I'm not saying it out of pride, but I've been to your reserves for years and years and years. All of you knew me. Many more know me. Many wanted to come. Two ladies that were coming with their baby, they heard of a death that morning and couldn't leave because of it. But over the years that I've ministered there, I never came to show off. I never came for a platform. I swallowed the black flies when I was preaching, and you guys kept saying to me, spit it out. I'd be going like, first couple of times, I'm like, black fly, and they're like, spit it out, move on. But this is going to be a church you can trust. And our prayers are going to be with you. Let me read some of the issues that we don't even understand. Excessive teenage pregnancies. Schools lack teachers. Living with the pain of others that no strength left. Brokenness due to accidents and tragedies and grief and loss and so many burdens. Depression and addictions. We need God to raise up professionals amongst the First Nation to provide proper counseling. Healing for our youth. The amount of skidoo racing accidents. This mom, Mary, was one of the ones that was organizing coming. The mom of this beautiful girl, Nanny. 3 weeks ago, Nanny died on Nina. I can't pronounce it. Nian. A month today. Can't pronounce it. She died in a skidoo accident while Mary was planning this trip. And the gentleman that was with her, he's had how many surgeries? Matthew? How many surgeries now? Countless. He's still in the hospital? He's in rehab now. Young people. At the same time, was it Annie or Connie lost your niece? Who lost niece? Many deaths. The community is constantly grieving and there's so much loss. Pray for our children. Pray for our husbands. Pray for our grandchildren. Pray for our protection. Pray that there'll be freedom from the smoking and that there'll be healing in bodies. Pray for the medical situations. Pray for the oppression. Pray for the suicides. Pray for there'll be household salvation. Pray there'll be deliverance. Pray for our pastors and our leaders. Pray for the mental health issues. Those are some of the prayer requests. Online, in-house. We wallow in the ground over a fly on our nose. They live with so much pain that they said, let's rent a bus, go where we know that we'll be accepted and loved, and let's just get lifted up. So right now, Mother Merle is going to come and she's going to pray over everyone here. We're a bit late already, so we're going to just get right into prayer. Would you begin to pray? Push your hands out. Online, be a part of this. Carry the burdens. Look at the faces. Hear the pain.
Hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Oh God, we bless your holy name. We thank you, God, for your mercy. We thank you, God, for this great day that you have made. And oh God, we thank you, God, for our sisters and our brother that came and joined with us. My God, we thank you, God. You heard their cry. Oh God, Almighty Father, as they cry out, your ears were not heavier. You heard the cries of your people. And Lord, oh God, Almighty Father, you make a way for them. You are the way maker. My God, Almighty Father, in spite of all, the weather showed to them in the natural. Ah, God, you parted the Red Sea and you caused Israel to go through. Ah, God, you parted, oh God, Almighty, for the swelling rivers of Jordan and you caused them to pass through. Father, they drove the bus. And Holy Ghost, thank you with the captain, oh God, on that bus. And for the ride through the storm. Ah, God, you spoke to the wind and you command that wind to stop. And Father, you bring them safely to this place. We thank you, God, for faith. We thank you, God, for the love that was shared to them. Oh God Almighty Father, thank you, God. They're the hurting hearts. You're taking, oh God, Father, pains. You're taking, oh God Almighty Father God, those, oh God, with mental sicknesses. Oh God, Father God, depression. You're banning the work of the enemy. Father, in every reserve. Oh God, I pray you push back the force of darkness. Push back suicide. Push back death to the abyss. Push back the murdering spirit. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray victory over your people. My God will walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that their God, God called them for such a time as this. Bless them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let them go on that bus singing and rejoicing in who you are, the God of their salvation. Ah, you're the captain of the Lord hosts. Let them go back to their friends and declare he is good. His mercy endure forever and ever. Heal their mortal bodies, my God. We pray for grandmas today. Oh God, strengthen grandma that came. My God Almighty Father, heal the mortal body in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Touch the youths, my God. They go back and, oh God, tell their friends it was good to meet in the house of the Lord. Give them, oh God, for the testimony that will encourage, oh God, those on the resort to look to you. Knowing their hands, oh God, are not short. You save your people. So we bless you, Lord. We pray journey in mercy as they leave. Take charge, my God. Captain of the Lord's host, drive the bus and take the bus safely, oh God, to their destination. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise God. Pastor, Nanbi, I'm going to ask Pastor Roslyn to just pray a blessing on us quickly as we get ready to close.
Thank you, Pastor Miller. I will say that I would like to read Hebrews 12 in response to the message. There's always a therefore. And Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 said, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks that as we, Lord God, come in agreement with you to change society, we can only do it if we look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. I pronounce a blessing upon this congregation, Pickering Pentecostal Church, that they will set their eyes upon you. They will run this race with endurance, looking unto you, the author and the finisher of their faith, that they will not give up, they will not grow weary. They will ask of you, of the nation, Father God, for an inheritance and the ends of the earth. They will go as far as you will take them. I bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.